Baseball or football?
Payday.
Are you custom made, custom paid, or you just custom fitted?
Welcome to another Fits with the Founder. I'm your founder, Nick, and I'm here with Cassie.
Woohoo!
So it's been a while.
It's
been a month. And we got a great episode for you. It's Masters Week, so, you know, basically a holiday for us all.
Yes.
it's going to be a good episode. We got Bo Jackson, one of the greatest athletes, I think the greatest athlete ever to live. So it's going to be a great interview you guys are going to get to listen to there. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about Masters and Club Champion here. So let's just dive right into the Masters.
Excited. Okay? Who is your pick?
So I have for my pool, I'm picking Scottie Scheffler. Okay. I'm going to ride the hot hand. I don't know whether I love that or not, but it's kind of hard. Like, I've been just thinking about it. Like, yeah, Tiger eliminated sex, maybe, but no.
We're going to talk about that. Yeah.
But no, I don't know. Like, you look at, like, you know, I was thinking like Brooks Koepka, but he played like garbage last week at LIV. And then you look at like Cameron Smith, and played like garbage last week. Rahm hasn't really played. I guess you could put like Wyndham Clark up there, but it's first time.
Yeah.
So like him, Aberg, they're in, but they're like, they're hot hands right now, but I mean, we might see a first time around. This could be a weird one where it's either going to be Scottie Scheffler, or in my opinion, it's going to be somebody like it's going to be like a Danny Willett situation all over again. Like, so just out of nowhere.
I'm literally looking up, has any first time player ever won the Masters? There has to be at least one.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're talking like PGA 2, well, like first time they ever played it.
Memory.
Okay.
Like somebody that we would know.
Yeah, I don't know. Was that his first Masters ever? I don't remember.
We have not seen a first time player at Augusta National win the Masters since Fuzzy Zeller in 1979.
There you go.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know. So that's why I don't, because, I mean, that course is tricked up. You know, when you're on TV, you, like, look at it, and you're like, oh, this looks pretty generous. The greens don't look that bad. Then you go there in person, and you're like, I agree, the fairways are pretty generous, but there's not really, a flat lie anywhere.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, the greens are way smaller than TV makes them look like, and way more undulating than TV makes them look like.
I mean, there's a reason it's called Amen Corner.
Yeah, get a pray. But no, it should be a good week. I think it's going to be an interesting week. Weather looks like crap for Thursday.
Lovely.
And then the rest of the week looks fine. So be interesting.
Scottie is probably who I'm riding for too. I would love it. This is a hot take for you. I think I would love it to be Rory, because I would like him to get the Grand Slam. Not because I care about Rory, but because the Grand Slam is a big deal. I just don't think that's going to happen. So we'll see. But as far as there's a ton of news out there, right? Like, obviously it's Masters Week, Golf Week, and Golf Digest and all that stuff. All they're talking about is Masters. The headline that has been the wildest for me is that Tiger Woods, quote unquote, eliminated sex.
Okay, so I haven't seen this.
This has to be April Fool's.
I never seen him say that, right? But, like, I haven't seen him deny it either.
He has not denied it, but it also did not come out of his mouth. It was a quote-unquote source.
Yeah, that's... What the fuck? I don't know if I buy that. Hey, if a Perkins waitress comes up to him and asks him for a date, he might do it. No, I'm kidding. That's
boy.
Bad.
But
yeah, no.
Boy.
No, he's been sued by one too many. I don't know how much I believe that.
Look, man, it came out on like April 3rd or something. Yeah. And I was like, this has to be a repost of an April Fool's. And it wasn't.
Somebody's just making that up. I don't know. But there's a lot of, speaking of Masters, there's a lot of interesting, you know, like if you don't want to sit there and pick a winner, there is a lot of interesting bets out there that I think, you know, there's some that I will be taking. Like Tiger Woods to make the cut is +110. So Vegas does not think Tiger's making the cut.
No.
Okay. I might have to take that one just for fun. I've been seeing this a lot lately, where you can pick the player, the top like European or top US player. I saw a weird one the other day where Brooks Koepka was 20-1, but if you went to a prop bet where it was just U.S. players, he was 30-1, which makes no sense. I think it was a mistake by the sports book.
Oh, well, if it was published, they
But, yeah, Shane Lowry's +600 for top Great Britain and Ireland. I think that's an interesting one for somebody to take. That would be, there's low LIV players now. You can bet on that.
That's insane. And Brooks is what, +600?
He's +600. A lot of people are looking at that one, but I don't know. I mean, you never know with Brooks, but – He played terrible last week. And he, on the live tour, and he had a new putter, so he's fooling around with a putter. Like, he had, like, a mallet putter, which I've never seen him putt with anything than that Scotty Cameron. It's like, so I don't know if he's chasing something or what. Yeah, you can get Roy McIlroy and Xander to finish inside the top 10 plus 500. I think that's a pretty good one because Xander would be one of those sneaky ones. I don't know if he'll win, but I think he'll be up there.
Yeah. They also give you the master stats from last year, 25 eagles, 875 birdies, because obviously they're going to ask, like, will there be more or less this year?
Yeah.
I would have to look at previous years.
Well, so here's what I think will be interesting about this year. If I could use my crystal ball, if it's going to be rainy tomorrow, and they don't finish, but the course is going to be receptive. But, I mean, that course does dry out pretty quick. But if those greens are more receptive because of rain, they're going to be able to score pretty low.
Yeah, maybe. This comes out on Friday, so everybody listening will already know how that
goes. We'll know whether we're right or wrong. But I don't know. I think if it gets that course is definitely better.
Yeah, we'll see. You already kind of referenced this a little bit based on the prop bets, but there are 13 LIV golf players who are competing at Augusta. So you remember a year ago when people were like, oh my God, I'm never going to get to play the Masters again. They can. It's including, you know, Dustin Johnson, Bryson, Sergio, Phil Mickelson, Brooks. Like, pretty much everybody that's a name that you would recognize from LIV is coming back. So many of them, it's because they have lifetime exempt. Like, Phil won the Masters.
Well,
like,
they got lifetime, and then there are just... they're bringing some people in. I mean, Augusta's kind of breaking away, and I think you're going to see more places do this, break away. They if they're going to be a major, they want the best players in the world playing.
Yeah. Do you hear – I wonder if our listeners can hear the banging that's happening in the build shop right now.
Yeah, that's good. Golf clubs are being built.
Yeah, so anytime you guys hear that background noise, that's somebody banging.
My office is literally 5 feet off the floor, so
– we'll see how the LIV players do. I'm sure it's going to be a divisive topic of conversation for the announcers, as it always is anytime you have a LIV player in a PGA event. So we'll see. Not a ton of other big headlines coming out of Masters Week. It's just people talking about who they think could win and all that. So by Friday, we'll know who's at least on the leaderboard. Another piece that's related to LIV golf. So John Rahm came out in an interview and said that he wants LIV golf to change back to 72 hole events, meaning he wants it to match what PGA Tour does.
Yeah. And I don't know if I feel, I read that too. And I don't know if I feel strongly one way or another, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if four rounds for me does anything. Like, I've thought about that the reverse way, where if the PGA Tour goes to 3 days
shorter,
because to be honest with you, my only chance to watch golf is Saturday and Sunday. And even then, it's like one of those days, and it's a Spartan time. So, like, to me, I don't think the longer does anything. Like,
yeah,
I don't think it brings anything to the table. I don't know.
The only thing I would need to look at is how often whoever ends on Saturday ends up winning on Sunday. Because a whole day could change the leaderboard, you know?
Like, oh, especially 110%, if the weather's effed or whatever. 110%, it could.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, okay, leave majors maybe four rounds, but, you know, at a normal event, three rounds. Like, I just don't know if you need that. Like, there's a lot of storylines. Maybe they like the storylines. I don't know, but...
could be. I think if you're going to look at it the way that, like, baseball has looked at it with the pitch clock and all that... like,
which has made baseball so much better.
It's so much more digestible. Yeah. I do understand from a player standpoint how exhausting that could be, especially a catcher, because you're squatting the whole fucking time and have to get up, down, up, down, up, down. I get it. But, like, as a viewer, way more digestible. So I think you're right. Golf probably
shortens the game, makes it more digestible. It's a long season, too. So golf's a long season.
Golf is eight. It's all year. It's all year.
Right. So I agree. Like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I look at it from a different point of view, but also don't really care.
From an advertising standpoint, probably not the best idea, because now you can advertise.
Really? See, I would think maybe not. I get what your point is there, but more eyeballs would be concentrated to one area.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
So I don't know how that would work, but... I feel like you just get more, I don't know.
There's just less inventory because you have 3 days instead of four, so that inventory becomes more expensive. But you're right, from like a viewership standpoint, more people would be paying attention. Yeah, for sure. And golf needs that right now, so who knows, man? Maybe one of these days. Other than that, so we also had an article published by Golf Digest that listed every driver that's been used thus far this season to win, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if you read the article, Nick, but if you didn't, Okay, what do you think the brand with the most wins this season was? Just like off the top of your head. You got like a 1 in 4 chance, dude.
I know. I was going to say Titleist.
So Titleist had was tied for second. So okay. Titleist, Callaway, and TaylorMade all had three wins each.
So
this
then
season.
It was Ping?
Sure was, with four. I'm
trying to think, who plays a Ping?
Most of them, apparently.
Yeah.
Because there were four wins this season, and then...
I mean, yeah, the Ping's great driver, so I don't know why I said that like that.
Yeah,
but,
and it was all the G430, like it was some version of the G430. And then Srixon and Mizuno tied for, I guess, third, both with one win each. No PXG on there. There are a couple
That's
other...
interesting, because, so... Because what was it, Eric Cole, the rookie that won? He was a PXG guy. He must not be playing their driver. He's playing everything but their driver.
Yeah. So there are a couple brands missing because when you only have, I'm looking at the list, there's only six brands. And there's no Cobra.
I was thinking Titleist just because I know a lot, but I was also thinking TaylorMade just because of Scotty Scheffler, but because he's won, what, three times?
Yeah. But no, yeah, Titleist again, tied
Ping
for third.
There you go.
So look at you, Ping, out there performing.
Yeah, out there getting it done.
Again, the difference between three wins and four wins, though, is negligible at the end of the day. Like, all of these clubs are
well,
great.
Well, right. And we're early in the season still. I mean, shit, it's only April. It feels like it's been a year, but it's only April.
And we're about to add one more winner to the list with the Masters this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. That's pretty much it for the golf news, which feels wild because it's been a month since we've done this and it's Masters week.
Yeah, but to, like the tournaments we missed, we didn't like...
Low-key.
Yeah, low-key.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a pretty good playoff last week, but...
Yeah, within the scope of the event, yes, it was pretty good.
Right.
All right, let's talk demos, though, because I know you got a lot.
We got a lot of new stuff that went in the store in the last month. So one of the first ones is a new shaft brand called Aratera, which is... I think I've talked about it before, but we have talked about it before. What am I talking about?
We had Alex D.
those are finally in the store, so that's great. There's another brand I like to talk. We kind of did a reboot. We've carried them for a long time, but not in totality. And now we're kind of going to get into it. And it used to be a brand called Patterson Golf Shafts. Now they've rebranded to Kinetics Golf Shafts. And one of these are really big on the long drive tour, but they have a full line of shafts. And what I like about these shafts, and we'll eventually have Jason on this, that's the designer of these. What's cool is they're kind of like Mitsubishi in a way where everything is theirs. So whether it's the prepreg that they use, which is the material, the graphite, whatever you want to call it, right, to the manufacturing facility that builds it, to everything, they control the whole line. So it's a very nice quality golf shaft. Very unique to club fitters. He's very performance-based. And to be honest with you, you know, price point is pretty mid-range. So, like, really good stuff, and those have now made their way into the stores. We got more SM10 wedges. I think we have about 1,500 SM10 wedges in every store. I think at this point, if you want to get fitted for Titleist SM10 wedges, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah,
righty
grind,
or lefty, by the way.
Finish.
We have a ton of lefties, too.
Yeah.
In different lofts, different bounces, different everything. I actually had somebody reach out to me not too long ago, and they were like, hey, I had a wedge fitting. It was great, but why do you have so many Titleists? And there was, TaylorMade, you only had like 8 or 9. I'm like, well, Titleist is kind of just a huge wedge company.
Yeah,
and
kind
TaylorMade,
of a big deal.
Yeah, and TaylorMade doesn't have that many, so... But if you want Titleist, we got a lot of them. Putters-wise, we put so Cobra had some – I've always liked Cobra putters. If you've never tried a Cobra putter, they're actually pretty unique in their design, architecture, how they just – their performance. So a couple new Cobra putters. We got the Agera. We got
– oh, my God. Is it Agera?
I don't know how
I've
you
say
it.
I've been saying Agera. Am I wrong?
You know what? It might be Agera. It might be Agera. I don't know.
Am I an idiot?
I might be the idiot.
This is like when you read a name in a book and you've never heard it out loud. You just say it in your head and
but
you're
we have,
wrong.
Yeah, right. No, I think you're probably right and I'm probably wrong. But we got the Agera, which we have the slant and we have the double bend. And then we also got the Cobra Nova 30, which is cool. Another big one that I think, you know, is a unique product and something that people probably don't think about with Club Champion, but it definitely has a place for us when we're fitting golf clubs, is the Zexio line. So Zexio 13 we have out there. We have the drivers, the fairway woods, the hybrids, irons, all that. Ladies, men's, you name it, we got it.
Lightweight.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, people go, well, it's not that customizable. Yeah, it is. It's length and it's lie. We can do that. You're right. The shaft, you know, we're not changing. In the head, we're not changing. But that's because you're not going to be able to create anything that light ever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, every piece of that golf club has been designed to be light. So in the event, like, you know, where we get, you know, older people or weaker people or slower people, there's an option there that nobody else can create. So it's something that's unique. We fit them here at the stores, and they're awesome. Another neat one I thought was cool that came out, because I'm a gearhead and you don't always get a lot of new stuff from this brand, is Miura. So Miura doesn't really launch a lot of new golf clubs, yeah. but they just launched the new IC602, and it's a beautiful golf club. Go look it up. It's awesome looking. But very, it's kind of got that 790 kind of world where it looks like a blade, but it doesn't play like a blade. It looks like a blade, plays like a cavity bag. They're clean. They got good ball speed, good forgiveness. And like I said, you don't get much new Miura stuff, so it's really cool. And then Wilson Staff, we finally got their blade in the store, which, you know, actually might be one of the coolest looking blades out there. I mean, really? People don't think about Wilson, but they got some really good blades out there. And so, now you got to be able to hit it.
I was going to say, I'll go look at the wall and see.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty to look at now. You got to be able to hit it. I'm not done yet, though.
Ooh.
So, because it's been a month. here's another unique brand who's just getting into the iron game is Bettinardi.
Yes.
Yeah,
they look so good, you guys. Yeah,
they got the MB24 and the CB24. So you got a blade and you got a cavity back. We got both of those in our stores. These are sexy.
Yeah, so good.
They're sexy. They feel good. They look good. They're definitely worth a spin on the TrackMan to see how they perform. And those are all in the stores. We added Titleist launched some more Phantom X putters. So we got the 5.5 in stores, the 7.5 in store. We actually have that in righty and lefty. We're not excluding lefties. And then the X9. So again, another big, you know, launch from them. Scotty Cameron, Phantom X, been a great line. Awesome. Evenroll, who I'll be reading an ad from here in a minute, they had some new putters go into the stores. The Neo Classic 2 mid blade. The Neo Classic 5 hatchback mallet and the Classic 8, Neo Classic 8. You know what I love about Evenroll putters? They're very customizable.
So
we can sit there in the fits and we can change hosels, we can change weights, we can change heads, we can change all this stuff and just really play with them and mold it to you in a fit.
They have like a new font, not new, but they're using like their classic throwback font on it. And I basically was like, okay, I'm going to need that filled with Tiffany blue. And they did it like to show me what it would look like. I'm like, this is the sickest putter. And I'm a Bettinardi girl, but like it looked good.
Yeah, I mean, it does. They're nice and they're customizable. I'm a big fan of Evenrolls and these Neos are nice. Speaking of Bettinardi on putters too, we added the Innovae 6.5 spud neck, which is, if you've never had played around with their Innovae line, that Innovae line is more of like a mallet-esque line for them. Always really nice. Usually like some stainless steel on the front, so you get a lot of weight up front, and then, you know, more of a aircraft aluminum on the back. You get high MOI, all that, feel awesome, look great. And then one of the putters that people have been asking us for about, feels like 60 days or 2 months now, and we've just been waiting because they're hot right now, and so they're behind on things. Lab.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The DF3 finally made it to the store.
It has been like 60 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, Lab is hot, and they're a growing company, and like any growing company, I've been there, so I don't want to talk shit.
Yeah.
You know, you get behind on things. So they're, you know, great putters, great brand, great partners. We finally do have the DF3 in stores. DF3. For folks that may not know, you know, their Mezza line has been really good. But their original line was directed force. It was gigantic. I called it the frog putter. I thought it looked like a frog head.
It does.
The DF3 basically takes that, cleans it up, and makes it smaller, and I think it looks really good. Okay, getting back to golf shafts, UST. So we're getting back to UST again. You know, UST, we're expanding the line. What I like about UST is they have what they call their TSBX line, which is their tour spec line. This is all super high quality. This is the same product that would go to the PGA Tour. This is not over OEM product. This is the high-end performance base. This is a race car. So we're adding some more to that. They got the Quantum Speeds. Quantum Speed is more of that lightweight kind of shaft model that we go in there for somebody who needs a little bit lighter weight. But we also have some of their heavier stuff going into the store as well, which I'll talk about the next time we have a podcast. But the lightweight stuff is heading into the store. And we have, you know, one of the things I didn't call out and I should have called out with the Kinetics line is they have a real, you know, putter shafts are becoming bigger and bigger, right? And they have a new putter shaft going. And what's it called? It's called like the Zero Torque. It's actually a really nice putter shaft. Actually, somebody just won with it on the PGA Tour. I'm not going to be able to think about it right now, but somebody definitely just won with that on the PGA Tour, Kinetics Zero Torque Putter Shaft.
Puttershy's okay. are huge.
That's a lot of demos. Holy shit.
Let's talk new stars real quick. Yeah. I'm like trying to pull up the list on my phone because it's literally been 4 weeks since we've done this. So
yeah, we open
be,
a lot of stores.
We do. So this is gonna be duplicative. I apologize. But we are almost open. Like Westbrook, Maine. That'll be our Westbrook, first Maine store.
Yeah, Westbrook, Maine will open in a couple weeks.
I think that'll by the next time we talk to you guys. I think that one will be open. Lake St. Louis was recently opened.
Lake St. Louis opened since we last time talked.
Pembroke Pines is actually our Miami relocation. That will also be open the next time we talk.
Yeah, Miami. We've been in Miami for 5 years, and it was time to our lease was up. We thought we normally don't move stores very often, but we just as we were in Miami more, we're like, you know what?
Expand.
Let's expand. So we went to Pembroke Pines.
Yes. And then Hanover. Also, I do think we talked about Hanover. Yep. And then Wisconsin. I know we talked about this because Mequon can never figure out how to pronounce it.
Actually, Mequon's off to a hot start. Those Wisconsin golfers are hardcore.
100%. Yep, so those are our new stores that we have. As always, we're going to double down on this for you here in a second. But those new stores have the new store opening offer, which is the $100 full bag with purchase or $50 any other fitting type. But right now, that's actually just nationwide. So you can get that offer at any of our 130-some-odd stores in the U.S.
Yep.
Obviously, great time to get that done if you're thinking Masters and you want to, like,
book
go
a fitting,
out there.
You'll get a great fitting yeah. fee, and we have so much product.
Literally everything.
Yeah, we have so much product in stores.
This might be the week, like this week and next week, this might be the most we've ever like had in stores.
I mean, you saw the demos. Crazy. And actually, there's more going out. So
crazy.
I mean, next time we're talking, Newton Shafts are going to be going out the door.
So Newton Shafts are by Saks Parente. Are they just, is Newton going to be a subset of Saks?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's yep. going to be like Badass and VA?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, those will be going out, and we're going to have some new Acras going out. And then it's going to kind of slow down for a minute. Well, I can't even talk about the one.
He's like, we're going to have some other stuff, but it's under lock and key.
There is going to be some new brands entering the ring here in the coming month or so, but we can't talk about it yet. Okay.
Hit them with the ad.
Okay,
read.
We got an ad to read from our partners at Even Roll. Love Even Roll. I already told you that just now. So elevate your golf game with the Even Roll Neo Classic Putter, engineered for precision and performance. Its innovative design offers unmatched control and accuracy on the greens. Experience the difference and putt with confidence. Get fit for a Neo Classic Putter today and transform your game. Nothing rolls like an Even Roll.
So I love people that tagline.
I think I read that pretty good.
Yeah, you did.
But cold. You know, to give a little extra, like, you know, I don't think people know, Even Roll putters are designed by a guy named Garen Reif, who we've had on this show.
Yep.
But if you didn't go back and listen to that episode, the guy's incredible putter. I mean, he's been in the putter game a long time. And so Even Roll has they're not just a name, they got a great designer behind them.
Totally. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Bo Jackson, the best athlete of all time.
Okay, we're back today, and this is going to be one of my favorite guests of all time, and I feel like I've known him since Moby Dick was a minnow. We got Bo Jackson, who I consider one of the greatest athletes ever to live, and I think most people do, too. And I've known Bo through golf. I always say golf brings a lot of people together, and golf brought me and Bo together. Bo, thanks for joining us today.
Nick, it's great to be here. It's great to be here. And if I had to look back 15, 20 years ago, and with this little kid I knew from the golf shop, sitting there as an apprentice, if I'd have known that he would have his own show, own podcast, and blowing up the golf world, I would say, no, not that. And here we are 20-something years later. And Nick, the things that you're doing is outstanding for the world of golf. So I'm glad to be on your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, before we get into it, for listeners that may not know, Bo obviously is a great athlete, but golf is one of his main hobbies these days outside of hunting. And Bo's a great golfer. Bo, what is your handicap these days?
Nick, before I had shoulder replacement and I think 17, my handicap was a 4.3, and I had shoulder replacement surgery. I took almost a year off to rehab my shoulder, and I lost a little of the, what do you call it? I lost a little bit of the flexibility.
Yeah, your turn.
In my left shoulder.
Yeah.
And I honestly, since then, I haven't had time to actually play serious golf. Most of my golf is just playing in charitable events and a lot of philanthropic work and so forth and so on. So that's how I enjoy. Now, now. That's how I enjoy golf now, by giving back in that philanthropic way. But if I had to guess, give myself a handicap right now, it would probably be a 10.
You probably still hit it a long way. I mean, I haven't played with you in a couple of years, but man, you used to smash that thing. But
I can hold my own, but I can hit it a long way, but it's hard as hell controlling it, trying to get the ball to go where you want to go. But I say this often. I said I would rather face Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens any day of the week with their 95-hour plus fastball than sitting the ball on that tee and trying to keep it in the fairway sometimes.
You know what? That was going to be one of my answers. Would you rather hit a golf ball, or would you rather take a great picture?
I would rather face those three guys. I'd rather face those two guys because I know what they are going to throw.
Well, and the other thing I like about Bo, and this is just how I met him, is he's always known equipment is part of the process. Like, even though he's a great athlete, he has to have the right equipment in order to play the game great. And so, I mean, over the years, Bo and I have tinkered with so many golf clubs, and Bo even tinkers himself. And, you know, we have a good time with it. I think it's a testament to getting club fitted. Like, I think Bo can tell you, yeah, I'm athletic. I can do a lot of things, but if I don't have the right equipment, I'm sure that was like that with your bats. I'm sure, you know, it's like anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I say this, in order for you to do a good job at whatever you do, you got to have the proper tools. And if you don't have the proper tools, you will never reach that end goal, which is success.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. That's in golf. That's in anything. That's an anything you got to have. But with golf especially, if you don't got the right tools that you're working with and the right mindset, you're going to always be left there scratching your head. Like, how did I shoot 120? Or so forth and so on. So I love it. It's one of my passions. Golf is one of my releases. And thanks to COVID, I become a pseudo golf repair person. Pseudo golf repair person, because with COVID, when everything was shut down, nobody could get out. So I just got online, and if I needed something, I ordered it. And I did all my shafting, did all my weigh-in, did everything that you could do, with the except of puring my own clubs.
Yeah.
So that's why I still hang around you, Nick, to get my golf clubs cured.
Pured, and sometimes we help with the bending, although
we got to
train how to use it. But yeah. So, okay, let's get into this, because Bo, I know your story, and I know you've told your story, but I think it's great. Like, just how you came to be, like how you were raised, to how you got into sports, to what sports meant to you, and ultimately what's important to you in life. Like, I think, you know, the stories you tell me and the advice you give me is so valuable, and I just want to share some of it with our listeners.
Well, but the thing with me, Nick, is I was born in a little rural town in right outside of Birmingham, Alabama, called Bessemer. And I'm the eighth of 10 kids, five boys and five girls. And my mother raised, I would say, nine of us in a 700 square foot home. That's just three rooms. And these rooms weren't 10 by 10, 10 by 12, small rooms. I was raised with outdoor plumbing. And what I mean by that, we had an outhouse out in the backyard behind the house. We didn't even have running hot water. We had to boil our own water to take bath in a metal tub on the back porch during the spring and summer. So early fall, then during the winter, we had to move that tub and sit it in the kitchen. And those are things that whenever I feel myself levitating above where I'm supposed to be, I go back home and get myself grounded again, because even though God has blessed me to move on from that life and do something with my life and be successful at a few things, I never look at myself as better than the person. I'm always trying to be that person that my grandparents and my mother want me to be, which is a type of person that treat everybody as my equal. Growing up back in that day was easy because we didn't have cell phones or computers or anything like that. After breakfast, Mom would say, go outside, stay outside till dinner. And we would do whatever we needed to do to occupy our time. A lot of kids back then were healthier, more athletic, because we're outside playing all day. Nobody had trainers or special diets that you're supposed to eat and stuff like that. And that's just how I grew up. And I always grew up playing with older and bigger kids, so forth and so on, which carried on into junior high, high school, college, and so forth and so on. I'm the first of 10 to attend a four-year college. Now, I could have left high school and went to the pros in baseball, but I'm like, I need to grow up first, because if you're going to take an 18-year-old kid from rural Alabama, stick him in downtown New York City, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Especially when I've never left the state of Alabama. So I decided that I'm going to go to college and I'm going to do something with my life. I think I can learn more in 4 years than I can in the next 10 years if I were to leave high school to go to New York to play baseball. And plus at college, but I can play baseball, football, run track, do all my things that I need to do besides learn how to study and make good grades, because I wasn't the smartest person on the planet, and I don't claim to be now. But I did enough to where I could keep my grades decent, to where it kept me, to where I could keep my scholarship. But it just worked hard at everything, not just playing sports, but just working hard at passing that geology class, working hard at passing that history class, working hard at keeping my GPA at a decent level. And those were my things, because if it weren't for that athletic scholarship, I would have never experienced college. Probably would have gone into the military. And that's it. Been a Green Beret or something, a SEAL team somebody, or special ops, because that's my mentality. I always want to be the best at what I do. And with that mentality, that's probably where I would have ended up. So God has things worked out for us, for everybody. And now that I've gone through all of that I get my passion now from being a papa. I have two grandsons, and doing my philanthropic work around the country, giving back to other people. And I call that putting sunshine in somebody else's clouds. And that keeps me happy. Even though I'm still working, I'm involved in 7 or 8 different businesses that I either own or partially own. Not saying that I'm wealthy. I got these businesses that I'm trying to keep up and running, but I'm working hard at it because I want to set an example for my kids, for kids out there that look up to me, and so forth and so on. I want to show them that, yes, I played sports back in the day, and I was very successful at it. I want to show you that I can be successful at something else besides sports. And that's where I am in my life right now. I'm sitting in my office right now. This is my company called Jackson & Partners, and I'm in this company. I'm in the food business. In the food business, just a little bit.
Well, I think, too, part of your story that I think is interesting and I never knew, mm-hmm. is when you got injured, I think a lot of people go, well, why didn't you go back to being sports? Why didn't you, you know, why did sports take a back seat and you kind of never came back from it? I mean, I think you have a great perspective on that I think a lot of people, and it kind of rides into what you were just saying. you see a lot of things bigger than sports. Sports was just a thing.
But the thing with that is that, yes, God bless me with some of the most amazing talent that you can bestow upon a human. But, and I thank him for that. But I don't think that I was put on this planet to be the world's best football player, the world's best baseball player, or something like that. I do believe that God put speed bumps in everybody's road to life. And my speed bump was injuring my hip in football. And it's like this. I ask everybody, what do you do when you're driving down the road in your car and you roll up on a speed bump? You don't go across that speed bump doing 30, 40 miles an hour. You slow down and ease over that speed bump and get on down the road. And my hip injury was that speed bump in my road of life. I slowed down, got over it, and I continued. Yes, my football career was over at the time. And plus, I was dealing with my mother being sick. She asked me, was I gonna come back and play baseball? This was before she went to heaven, before she passed. And I said, just for you. Then she asked me, was I going to go back and finish my college career? Because I put off 4 remaining classes to graduate. I put it off 10 years. And I told her that I would do that just for her. Well, I lost my mother. God called my mother home 3.5 weeks after I had hip replacement surgery. And I made that promise to her that I would come back and play baseball. The first hit I get was going to be for her. And I was going to graduate. And I went back after my hip surgery, and I finished those 4 classes, graduated from Auburn with my degree in human science, family and child development. Then I worked my butt off to get back to play baseball. And I played baseball for 4 years on an artificial hip with 2 teams. Well, I told my mother when she asked me if I was going to come back and play baseball, I said, yes, and the first hit I get is going to be for you. And my first at bat after my hip replacement surgery was a home run, and it was for my mother. And the young man that caught that ball in the stands had him brought to the locker room after the game, and I asked him for that ball, and I told him the story about my mom. And he said, well, this is your mom's ball. He gave it back to me. I gave him my game jersey that I played in, gave him a bat. I signed a bat for him, and so forth and so on. And that young gentleman was happy. But I was a million times happier than he was, because he gave me something back that probably meant more to me than the Heisman Trophy. Because I took that ball and I encased it in a block of acrylic, and I bolted it to my mother's dresser in her house, and that baseball is sitting there now. And I signed it, just for you, Mom.
That's awesome. Now, okay, so let's go to a lighter side. That was awesome. Baseball or football?
Payday. Payday, Nick. Payday. It really doesn't matter. I had fun to the utmost levels in both sports. Baseball is more relaxed because you got 162 games. Football, you can only relax on Sunday evening after the game, because then you got to turn it right back up on Monday practice. And it's intense. It's intense. And so forth and so on. But no, I would not prefer one over the other. But I do like Payday better than I do both of them.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, so another fun one here. Would you rather? I already know this part, but I had to add a thing. So it was going to be hit a golf ball, hit a baseball home run, throw someone out like your crazy throwouts you used to do, or run a 90-yard, run through people for a 90-yard touchdown.
Wow, that is a hard one. I've never been asked that question before, but I would say, I think it's a tie between throwing somebody out and probably running a 90-yard touchdown run. And it's because of this. Back when I was a child, my neighborhood knew me as the rock thrower. Anybody that got a window in their house broken, a windshield in their car smashed, a kid get hit in the head with a rock, they come to my house first. Every time. And 99.999% of the time, I did it. To football, the reason I say the 90-yard run, and it's not because it's 90 yards, it could be any run that I did in football, I never thought about, I could never hear the fans in the stands, but the defense always turned into my brothers and sister. And for this reason, when I was a kid and got in trouble, if I hit a kid in the head with a rock, my mother would make my brothers and sisters chase after me because I was a runner. I'd run from a butt foot. And she would make my brothers and sisters chase me, and they would catch me. So whenever that quarterback gave me the football, it turned into, I'm trying to escape my brothers and sisters, not the defense.
That's
I'm trying to escape my brothers and sisters because I know if they caught me, I was going to get a butt whoop.
I love it.
So, yes. So on those 90-yard runs, even when I'm running 90 yards, the only thing that I could hear is the wind blowing by the ear hole in my football helmet. And the only thing that I'm thinking is that I don't see defensive players. I see my brothers and sisters trying to catch me. And in my mind, I'm saying, don't let them catch you. Don't let them catch you. Don't let them catch you. And once I cross the goal line, it all goes away. And I turn around and I'm back on the football field again. That's weird, but that's how every run I've ever had, it's always my brothers and sisters trying to catch me, and I don't want to take that butt.
That's an incredible story. I love watching the highlights of you like throwing from the warning track to home plate like it's nothing, which, you know, that's still incredible. I didn't know it was from throwing rocks, though.
Yes. I threw a lot of rocks before I threw baseballs, and those rocks got me in a world of trouble.
Okay, I got another one. So here's an interesting question somebody asked me to ask you. Who's a pitcher that who is the pitcher you are most afraid of batting against? I kind of think you're going to say nobody, but maybe there's somebody.
True. Nobody. But pitchers that I dreaded facing was the guys that just threw what we would call junk, or we would call doo-doo pitchers. We would call them doo-doo pitchers or junk pitchers. I think the thorn in my side was Frank Tanana. Pitch for the Detroit Tigers because he wasn't a hard thrower, but he threw a lot of junk. But but when he did throw you a fastball, because of all the junk he threw, which probably wouldn't have broke 75, 80 miles an hour, his 80 mile an hour fastball would seem as if it's 102 miles an hour because he seldomly threw a fastball to you and strike you out. And that frustrated me more than anything. Frank Tanana was my thorn.
Okay, and I want to get back to golf, but I got one more sports question.
Gotcha.
Okay, if you could join one team today, baseball or football, what would it be?
Because of the salaries now, hell, it would be baseball all day. It don't matter what team, but if you look at the way the game's played today than how it was played 25, 30 years ago, it's totally different. And I mean, from A to Z, but the game is totally different. And not saying that that's a bad thing, but the games are different now, especially the payday. All of the guys my age and older say, man, can you imagine what we could have made back in the day when we played?
We played
baseball. Yes, it's incredible. But I tip my hat.
I mean, the contract you would have gotten today at your skill level, insane. Probably would have been the biggest.
Nick, but I actually think about it, but I try not to because it makes me sick to my stomach. But I say this, I wouldn't go back and change a thing. I came along at the right time in my life. I would try not to question God's work.
Yep.
Yeah. And he put me there for a reason, and I was there during that time for a reason, and I'm where I am now for a reason. So
the athletes I've met, you are the most humble, grounded one I think I can speak for. And I think that God's given you that perspective, that plan that's led you to that. And I admire you greatly for it.
But I talk to God a lot. Everybody says, so are you a religious person? But I said, I don't go to church as much as I should. I said, and plus, you don't have to go to church to talk to God. I said, I talked to God sitting in my, a couple of days ago, I talked to God sitting in my turkey blind in Arkansas, in Wichita. I talked to God sitting on my boat out on the river when I'm sitting in my man cave twiddling with my golf clubs. I talk to him when I'm on the tee box a lot.
I always say I pray around 80 times every Sunday morning.
Yes, absolutely. So that's me in a nutshell. I look at things that I did 20, 30 years ago, and I look at where I am now, and I'm happy. I can go play golf whenever I like. I can go fishing whenever I like. I go get my grandkids and go spoil them. I go jack them up on Skittles and Coke and take them back home to their parents during the evening. And life is good. Life is good right now.
Yeah.
Life is good right now.
Did you get a turkey?
No.
I'm going next Friday. So,
but I think the eclipse screwed me up. I think that because it was a little too cold too.
Yeah. So, I'm supposed to go next Friday. We'll see if I can get one. They're pretty elusive. Okay. Yes,
they are.
Going back to golf, what is your favorite golf course? I'm going to ask you two questions. One is, what is your favorite golf course to play? And I'd like it if you gave me one in Chicago and then one of your favorite wherever it is in the world. And then what kind of golf clubs do you play?
All right. Right now, if I had to pick my favorite golf course in the state of Illinois, I think it's a tie. But I don't have a favorite because all of the golf courses that I'm a member at, these clubs are outstanding. Illinois got some of the best golf courses in the country.
Yes, it does.
And I'm a member at 5 golf courses in Illinois. I'm a member at Cog Hill.
Yeah.
I'm a member at Misswood. I'm a member at Rich Harvest, which I have to put up there as probably as number one. I'm a member at Bolingbrook, where I have my charity golf outing at every year. And I'm a member at Bull Valley up in McHenry County. So I play golf all over the place whenever I can. Now, as far as my golf equipment, I am a spokesman for Tour Edge. I play those clubs as much as I can, but I don't like to travel with my club. So I got clubs at all the courses that I'm a member at here in Illinois and in Alabama, where I'm a member at three or four courses there. And I play everything. I don't discriminate when it comes to equipment. I play with my Tour Edges. I play Ping, Titleist, TaylorMade, you name it.
Well, we just built up some Wilson Woods like a month ago.
Wilson, yes. Believe it or not, I got an old set of Wilson Blades that I played that I got back in, I think, the early 2000s. And they look like tablespoons. So there isn't one specific club that I play, but the clubs that I endorse is Tour Edge. For some reason, the Tour Edge driver is the lowest spinning driver that I got. Everything else, I get too much spin on it. Yeah. But that Tour Edge, it hits the ground. And it runs like Bo Jackson running from his brothers and sisters. So it runs. And I like that. Because I don't hit it as far as I used to. But I average off of the tee somewhere around 275, 280. But if I get hold to one, but I can get it out there at 330,
How over length are your clubs?
From anywhere from a quarter to a half inch.
And then you use mid-size grips mostly, right?
I went back to mid-size and they did the mid. I have to go back to the jumbo, to the jumbos, okay. Because I got some mitts on me. But I got mitts on me. But in the smaller that grip, the more when I come through the ball, I turn it over and I hook it. So I have to go back to my jumbos.
So you're back to the jumbos. That's good. Yeah.
I'm back to the jumbos. Okay. I'm always piddling it.
I know. That's why I can't keep up all the time.
I'm always piddling with my club. Yes, I am.
Well, I think that's interesting because you build like a lot of your own arrows and stuff. You, yes. Like me and you, you have us do some stuff and you get some stuff from us too. But you also pick yes. your own stuff. I mean, you love to tinker.
Well, and that's just part of my way of relaxing, getting away from the celebrity side of my world. Just sit down and do stuff. But I can get in my man cave, shut the door, I can turn on the TV, and I can sit down there and tinker with stuff for 5, 6, 7 hours and not come out of my man cave.
I totally get and that.
Yes, yes. That's my relaxing room. That's my
I always tell the story. Now, whether I have it completely right or not, I don't know, because it was almost 24 years ago, whatever it was. But you came in when I was an apprentice, and I had no idea who you were, because I'm just same thing. I'm a hillbilly from a small town in central Illinois. And so I'm not real big into anything. And you walk in and you ask for 7-0 rifles. And, you know, that's about as stiff as it gets, especially back then. You know, late 90s or whatever that was. And, you gave me your formal name, which is Vincent Jackson, which even if you gave me Bo Jackson, I might not have figured it out that day. And so it was pretty funny. You left and Everett comes out, who's my mentor, and goes, "Hey, who is that?" I go, "I don't know, some guy named Vincent Jackson. He wants 7-0 rifles." He goes, "Do you know who that is? That's Bo Jackson." I'm like, "No, I didn't put that together."
Yes, those were the days. Those were the days. That's when I first found out about everything. And like you said, yep, you was that apprentice there. You weren't no more about 18, 19 years old, weren't you?
17 or 18, actually.
17 or 18 years old. Yeah. So, yes, we've been friends for a long time.
No, and I remember there's another great story I always like to tell before we get off is – you know, you would come by sometimes, and it was a Saturday, and we'd go play golf or something down at Cog Hill. You'd be like, "You want to run down to Cog Hill and play a little bit?" And I'd be like, "Sure." And I remember one day we went out there, we went out on Dubs, and we got to about 9. We were flying around there, and Ernie Banks was there. And you're like, "Yeah, Ernie's probably going to want to join up with us, whatever." He always was playing out there. And so as a kid, I mean, listen, I must have been in my early 20s at the time, you know, getting to play around with Bo Jackson and Ernie Banks was a pretty incredible moment that I'll probably never, well, I know I'll never forget. So.
Yes, those actually were the days that you can go out to the golf course and probably just run into anybody. A lot of people don't understand, but it's that celebrities got things that they want to do. What you look at them as being a celebrity is, that's our job. But our fun time is when we're not doing our job. It's golfing.
Being a normal person.
It's fishing. It's hunting. It's riding your bikes. It's stuff like that. So, yes. But I love being out doing things, especially on the golf course.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, we share those two hobbies. I love hunting. You love hunting. In fact, that's the one thing we haven't done together, and I'm going to get you down, and we're going to do hunting this year for deer season.
There you go.
But, okay, before we leave, is there anything you want to plug, any businesses or charities or anything?
But the thing that I want to plug is that I got my annual charity golf outing coming up at Bolingbrook Golf Course. It's the third week in June. I got my annual Bow Bikes Bama ride in Alabama, to where we ride across 3 or 4 counties to raise money for tornado victims. I do a ton of philanthropic work, but those two are the only two that I do that I put out there. But I do other things that I just keep quiet because I don't do it for the publicity. I just do it because that's how I am. But I got my businesses that I'm doing. Number one, but I have a new sports drink out, a powdered sports drink called Bo 3.0. And the reason I call it Bo 3.0 is because my one sport was football, number two sports, baseball, and now I'm on my third venture, which is being in the food business and the sports drink business. Sports drink, like I said, is Bo 3.0. But in the thing that I do, Nick, is that I have opportunities to put my name on a lot of stuff. And I choose not to. I'm not going to false advertise and put my name on something that I don't believe in to make a buck. That's just the bottom line. Now, as active as I am, I'm always drinking something. Like when I'm doing my bike ride, I got to have my drink on my bike, on my saddle. And I've tried probably every powdered drink on the market. And you got a lot of powdered drinks that have too much sodium, too much sugar, and don't have a lot of the healthy things in it. Well, what I did during COVID, right in the middle of COVID, partnered with a company called Carry International. And my partner and I sat down and we developed this powdered sports drink, Bo 3.0. And what we did was we looked at all of the powdered sports drinks on the market, and we did what they didn't do with their powdered sports drink, which we put stuff in our formula that benefits the person. We put IUFlex, we put Capros, and with those two ingredients, they support blood flow and support your joint support. And that's one thing that you don't find. And we're low in sodium and have no sugar. And the taste is outstanding. When I get a chance, but I'm going to stop by your office and I'm going to bring you some just so you can put 4 or 5 packs in your golf bag. So when you're doing your thing or you're working out with your wife, just put in a bottle of water, shake it, and go for it. But you can find those on Amazon and you can find it at Bo 3.0. That's what we're doing with that. But for those sore joints, I got Promise Drops out there. That's my CBD line, non-THC free. Want to put that out. It doesn't have THC in it. We are partnered with a company called Massage Heights. Those are massage stores all over the country that carries my Promise Drops CBD line. We have sleep gummies and we have a topical rub. And those are some of the things that I'm doing. A packaging company that I'm in business with that I own that's very successful, based out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, of all places. But, you know, I try to stay young by keeping myself busy. And those are some of the things that I do. That's where I am.
Okay. Well, on the Bo 3.0. I'm going to order some today.
Please. Actually, I tell you what. Before you order it, I'm going to bring some by your office because I'm right down the street. I want you to taste it first. And I say this, don't buy my product because I'm associated with it or because it got my name on it. You purchase that product because it's a good product, number one. Number two, it's something that your taste buds fall in love with. If it doesn't do that, then you don't need it.
Well, I also like supporting a good friend. Okay, let's go to yays and nays. Cassie, you want to run this one since me and Bo have been yapping?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right.
Let's do it. So, Bo, I will give the topic and we'll start with you. So, first topic is yay or nay, Caitlin Clark's golf swing.
Nay.
Really? Okay.
I just found out who she was in the past year, and I've only seen her shoot a basketball.
Okay, that's fair. Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I only know what their swing's like based on the link you sent. It's okay. I mean, listen, she's a better golfer than I would have expected. I don't know if I'm a yay, though, or a nay. But
her and I've never seen her swing.
I will say I watched the game the other day. She is an incredible athlete.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, she's pretty phenomenal. I don't have a strong take on her golf swing either. Again, I agree. I wasn't expecting her to have even a decent swing,
Yeah, so like, I mean, the fact that she's out there playing golf, you know, in her off time and being athletic and just being an all around athlete, I think is great. I'll give that a yay. But I've known about her for a couple of years, and this is the most women's basketball I think I've ever watched in my life. So, and it's because of Caitlin Clark. So I love her. I just don't know if I would necessarily pay to watch her play golf at this stage.
They brought more ratings than the men, which is unbelievable.
Crazy.
Yes, they did.
Crazy. Okay. Yay or nay, pimento cheese sandwiches.
It's Masters Week.
Nay.
Oh, see, I'm a big yay on this.
I am from the South, and I haven't eaten pimento cheese sandwiches no more than 3 or 4 times in my whole life.
Nick?
So a lot of people, I get it. A lot of people hate them. And honestly, I'd never had one until I went to the Masters, whatever it was. I think my first Masters, 2014. And that was the first time I had had a pimento cheese sandwich, and I actually kind of liked it. I mean, I thought it was okay. Now, next time I had it, I think I went back to the Masters in 2021. It was the one that was in November.
Yeah.
It got pushed back from COVID. So, I mean, that's about the only times I've had a pimento cheese, but my mom will make them during the Masters for my dad because he thinks it's kind of a fun thing because of the Masters. So I'll eat that, but it's not the same. It's like a store-bought crap. It's not like when you go to the Masters. I like it.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it a nay. To be fair, I've never had it at the Masters, like on the grounds of Augusta. I think that might change my mind, but I'm good. I'm a pass on anything that's just cheese as the base of the meal. I'm good. Okay. Yay or nay, Auburn's 10-year apparel deal with Nike.
Yay.
You're a Nike boy, right? You were back in the day.
Sweetheart. I have diplomatic immunity at Nike, so yeah, that's all that needs to be said about it.
Okay, big yay. What about you, Nick?
Actually, Bo gave my firstborn, Charlie, his first pair of Nikes when he was a baby.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you're a fan of this deal then too, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's great. I think actually, I don't know where Bo stands on this, but I think like, the way athletes are getting treated in college now are just so much better in such a way. And the money going to the school and the money going back, funneling some of the money and things back to the kids, I think is huge.
Yeah. So.
Good. Yes, it is.
I'll give it a yay. They went from Body Armor to Nike. This is a big deal for those athletes. And, you know, it's going to make them look great. It's going to make them feel great. That's a huge apparel name for them to work with. So I think that's great for them. This is not what I'm excited to talk about, but yay or nay, bow hunting.
Yay or nay, bow hunting? Yay.
Is that your preferred? Do you prefer bow hunting or do you have other styles?
Anything outdoors. I am an outdoorsman. My grandfather took me hunting with him when I was 4 or 5 years old. And I've been an outdoorsman ever since. So it's in my blood. Actually, I just got off a turkey hunt trip yesterday. So, yes, I am an outdoorsman.
Okay.
And I call it harvesting, which means I consume or I prepare the meat for someone else. If I don't eat it, I just don't go out to hunt. I call it harvesting.
Amen. I'm the same way. I prefer bow hunting more than I prefer gun hunting, but I'll do either. I'm an outdoorsman. And I'm the same way. I'm not going to shoot anything outside of a nuisance animal that I won't eat or give to somebody to eat.
There you go.
I'm a nay. Nick knows this about me. I am a vegetarian and I'm an animal lover. And while fundamentally I don't have an issue with people essentially killing the food that they eat, because like somebody had to, so why not you? You know, like if you eat meat, it shouldn't really matter. Me personally, though, I could never. I cried the other day because I killed a spider, so it's just not my thing. But I will say, I have shot multiple different types of weapons, usually like skeet shooting or target shooting. I've never actually shot at anything that's breathing. Crossbows, and I know you can't hunt with crossbows usually, but hands down. Can you? Okay, hands down the most fun thing I have ever, like, shot or any weapon I've ever used. It's so fun. It makes you feel like the baddest, like, bitch on the planet.
yes. Absolutely.
I don't know what it is. I was like Xena.
One last one for Bo.
Okay. Last yay or nay. Yay or nay, leg day when you're working out.
Nay.
That's the only answer.
Yeah.
Nay from nay on that.
The next day I'm not gonna be able to walk.
Well, the thing about it is that the reason I say nay is because I never worked out. My workout was my running every day because I either did baseball, football, wrestle, and track. So I never worked my legs out because I was all because that was my workout, competing.
Nick, do you even do leg day?
No, I do because like I just did squats the other day. I just hate it because I hate how sore I am the next day. And it doesn't matter how much I do it, I still feel like I get sore from it. I don't know.
It's the worst, honestly.
It's
that like John Wayne walk afterwards where you struggle to sit down and stand up and you like can't pull your legs together. It's wild. It's the only workout that I do. So anytime there's leg day or like if I'll do Stairmaster or whatever, it's the only workout that the burn doesn't feel good, right? When your abs feel like you've worked out, when your shoulders, your arms, that's a good burn. Yeah. It is not good from the waist down. So I'm a hard nay.
The blood vessels are bigger and you're pumping more blood to that area. Yes. But you are sore from your waist down when you do that, when you do the leg workout. Excuse me?
What picture did you grab there?
No, but it wasn't a picture, but I just wanted to show you what my 3.0.
Oh, that was it.
3.0 okay, looked like. This is the variety pack. It has blood orange and lemonade is one flavor, black and blueberry, the second flavor, and raspberry watermelon is the third.
Which is your favorite color? But what's your favorite flavor?
Nick, if I sat through COVID to make these, to say yay or nay to the food scientists, they all have to taste good. Okay. So I could just reach in a bowl and grab one and take it with me. It doesn't matter which flavor it is. I put in the bottle, and I like it.
Nice. So, well, Bo, thanks for your generosity of time today. Thanks for your friendship over the years. Thanks for all you've done and coming on today.
Thank you, Nick. But you know me. If you're in my small circle, you're in that small circle for life, brother. So anything that I can do for you, you know you don't got to do nothing but pick up the phone and call.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Bo.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Fits with the Founder. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to support our show. And if you want more equipment content, check out Club Champion Media on all of your favorite socials.
I got my swing. Roll out. Back. Roll out.